It is truly good once again to be able to come and to gather with the saints to worship God in spirit and in truth. As the scripture reading was read on this morning from the book of Exodus chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, we'll start at verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. I wanted to look at that. The statement coming from Moses asking God, Who am I? Who am I that I should go up unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? If you would continue to read, you will find that not only did Moses ask, Who am I? But he also asked, you're going to have to pardon me just for a moment here. He also asked later, looking and thinking and making excuses. Many of us do the same things today. We make excuses. Why should I do this? Why should I do that? Having something else to do, something that you think is better to do than to obey God. Who am I? As we think about making excuses, we need to think about all that God has done for us. How He has allowed us to live, as the brother prayed, and to see another day. We need to be thankful for that. And we need to consider our lives to make sure that we're doing exactly what God wants us to do. As we think about making excuses, we go to Luke chapter 14, Luke chapter 14, verse 16 through 24. One excuse is just as good as another excuse, but no excuse is good enough for God. There's always a way, and He makes sure that that way is identified, that way is recognized by individuals so that they will know that this is from God. It's not going to be an excuse in the end. Luke chapter 14, starting with verse 16. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, invited many people to come, and sent his servant a supper time to say to them that were bidding, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought four yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, Is it done? It is done, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Excuse, excuse, excuse. I believe that we need to look at our lives today and we need to ask ourselves, what excuses have we made when it comes to serving God? When it comes to going out into the streets and telling people that the table is now spread, what excuses have we made? When you're called on to help out a fellow man, what excuse do you make? I believe there's many. I don't have time. I have to do this. I have to do that. I'm tired. But what about Jesus? Did Jesus ever make any excuse not to do what the Father wanted him to do? The answer is absolutely not. He did not make an excuse. And I believe today that as we think about our excuses and the things that we're supposed to do, we need to think about our lives. We need to think about where we want to spend our eternity. And if that place where we want to spend our eternity is heaven, we need to forget about any excuse for not doing what is right and begin to do what we're supposed to do. Many times excuses are just lies in disguise. You start stuttering. Well, you see what happened is this. We know when someone starts a statement like that, 9 times out of 10, they're getting ready to lie to you. Just an excuse, a reason. But then again, it's just an ordinary lie. I couldn't go to worship today because I wasn't feeling good. But you go to the ball game after worship service and you see where they are. Oh, my voice is gone. But when the game comes on, they're hollering loud in the next person. Or I just didn't, I was so sick I couldn't get up this morning. But you go down to the grocery store, the eating place, and there they sit. They beat you there. Excuses. Something we make up for not doing what we don't want to do. How many of you have already planned on right now not going to work tomorrow? You're planning it now. I'm going to be sick in the morning. You're going to follow through with it because you don't really want to go. You already make it up in your mind that you don't want to go. When I woke up this morning, there's a lot of things on my mind, and coming to worship God or not coming to worship God wasn't one of them. I wanted to come and to worship Him. I wanted to be gathered together with the saints. But some people laid down last night with that in their minds that they wasn't going to show up this morning. And guess what? They didn't show up. Adam was the first excuse maker. Very first one. Why did you do that, Adam? Who told you were naked? Who told you those things? Did you eat of that tree that I told you not to eat of? It was that woman that you gave me. It's what he told God now. An excuse. Adam, he was a grown man. He was created grown. He could make up his own mind whether he wanted to do right or do wrong. But he blamed a woman. He made an excuse. It was that woman that you gave me. And I believe each person here this morning that's of the age of accountability, when you do something, you don't do it because someone made you do it. You did it because you wanted to do it. That's what we have to remember. Adam wanted to eat of that tree. Eve was just the first one to do it. But he wanted to because he took of that fruit and he ate as well. Who's at fault? Wasn't Adam's fault, was it? He said it was God's fault for giving him that woman. It was not God's fault. Many of our excuses end up laying the blame for our failures at the feet of God. Lord, if you hadn't allowed me to move to that place, I wouldn't be in the situation I'm in today. Lord, if you hadn't given me that new car, I wouldn't have been able to drive that many miles and to get in the trouble that I've gotten into. Gave me that good job, Lord, and now that I have this good job, I'm not worshiping you the way I'm supposed to worship you. It's all your fault. See, we pray to God for certain things, and then when God answers that prayer and things don't work out, we blame God. Amen. We blame God. We make excuses. We need to accept our responsibility and quit making excuses. Would you like to study the Bible? I just can't understand it. It's written, it's so complicated, I cannot understand it. But there are so many translations out there today to make it very plain for you to understand. But this is the excuse that some people get. I cannot understand the Bible. Well, if you can't understand it, then you're not going to understand the scriptures that's here. Because this is your excuse. John 8, verse 32. John 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, easy to understand that. You want to be free? You want to, you know, say, well, you don't have to go to work today. We're going to give you a pass. You understand that? We're still going to pay you. You understand that? You go to jail or you're playing a game Monopoly, go directly to jail. Do not pass go. You understand that? It's written there on the board. So if you would open up the Bible, you will be able to understand it. Again, you have to say, though, well, how can I understand? As the eunuch said in Acts chapter 8, except some man guide me. We need some guidance. This is the excuse that people give. I just can't understand the Bible. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Ephesians 5, verse 17. When they make that excuse that they cannot understand the Bible, there are so many scriptures to prove them wrong. Ephesians 5, 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand. He said, you can understand, but you have to open up the book. You have to open up. It's hard to say, well, I wonder what that book is talking about. When it's on your shelf like this, you're not going to know. You have to pull it off the shelf. And you have to open it up and you have to read what thus said the Lord. You do not need to make an excuse because the truth is there. And you can understand it. Here's the answer. Here's the answers. You made those excuses, which again, they're nothing but lies, because the Bible says you can know the truth. And the truth can set you free or will make you free. And you can't understand what the will of the Lord is. I don't want to know. That's the real answer right there. I do not want to know. Don't tell me what it says, because if you tell me, I'm going to be held accountable for it. No, you're going to be held accountable before it, regardless of whether or not you hear it from me or not. You're still going to have to give an account in the end for the deeds that you've done in this body, whether good or whether bad. I understand and I don't want to obey. That's really the answer, isn't it? Well, a lot of people say, well, yeah, that's just the way you interpret that, or just the way you understand it. Well, we're reading the same thing. You just don't want to obey it. I understand, and I'm not going to obey. That boils it down, doesn't it? As many people that are in that category. I don't want to understand it. Or I understand and I don't want to obey, or I understand and I'm not going to obey. You cannot make me do those things. You're right. And that's why we don't find in the scriptures anywhere where God is making anybody do anything. He wants you to make up in your own minds to do what is right, the things that are pleasing unto Him. That's the type of God we serve. But we're making excuses. We're making excuses. We can't understand the Bible alike. There's no way. First you say, you can't understand it. Now you're saying, we cannot understand alike. What is the answer? What is really the reason for you not picking it up and obeying it? The scriptures teach us. Oh, we can understand it alike. We just have to be willing to look into God's Word and see what it says and keeping things in context. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Well, can we understand the Bible alike? Paul says we can. He says we can. So if we find in Scriptures that we can, that means we can. What is the answer? What is the answer? Why do we make that excuse? Well, I'm not changing churches. I'm not going to do it. You cannot make me do it. I'm not going to do it because I like worshiping where I'm worshiping. I don't care if they're teaching something that's not right. I'm going to stay there because I'm not changing. Many people are going to hell because they don't want to change the place where they worship. They enjoy the listening to people teach false doctrine because that's who they were raised with. That's who mom and dad attended with. So I'm not leaving. My mama said here on this pew, I'm going to sit right here until the day I die. Well, if that place is the wrong place, you need to move. For the day you die, you will not enter into paradise, but you will go into torment. I'm not leaving the church of my parents. We have to understand something. Our parents haven't built the church. Our parents didn't shed their blood for any church. Jesus Christ built the church. Jesus Christ shed His blood for the church. So we can understand the Bible alike. I'm not going to offend my friends and family. No way you're going to turn me against them. But it's not man that's turning you against them. The Bible's already said that, you know, if you love mother and father more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you want to stand up for the truth, stand up for the truth. Your family, if they don't understand, it's because they don't want to understand. If they want to hate you for obeying the truth, they want to hate you anyway. Now they have a reason. Well, he left the Methodist church, or he left the Pentecostal church, and he's a member of the only church that they say that is in the Bible. You know why they say it's the only church in the Bible? Because it's the only one that's in the Bible. The church that Jesus Christ built. An excuse. A reason. A lie. I can't teach Bible class. We got many people today that need to be teaching a class somewhere. But they say, I can't teach Bible class. You're a member of the Lord's church. I want to ask you one question. What was taught to you for you to obey? And do you remember what was taught to you? If so, you can teach a Bible class. You can teach a Bible class. Most of the Bible classes that we have, you have the material right there in front of you. All you have to do is study the material, prepare yourself, go and teach it. Go and teach it. I can't teach Bible class. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, you say you can't, the Bible says you should. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Why come you can't teach Bible class? Because you have not been studying. You have not been, you know, putting any effort into learning what God's Word says in order to sit down with someone to teach them. That's why you can't teach Bible class. But you really can. You just don't want to. What is the true answer? I'm not going to put forth the time and effort to learn how to teach. Isn't that a poor excuse? This is the excuse that many parents have today with even teaching their children or helping their children with their homework. I'm not learning anything new. I'm not going to do it. That's okay. So what you have to realize when you don't want to learn anything new, but you want your child to get out of that grade that they're in and they're having difficult times in class, now they have to stay after school or they have to go to school early or you have to hire a tutor to teach them. But God's Word is very simple. It's easy for us to understand. All we need to do is pick it up and we need to study it. And as we study, we learn. And as we learn, we're able to teach others. We're able to teach others. I'm too busy with my secular activities to devote time to study and teach others. There's a ball game. There's no way I'm going to be able to sit down and give my time, the time that I need to get my class prepared to teach anyone else. Got a family reunion to go to. I can't teach Bible class. Please, will you teach my class on Sunday morning? No, I don't have time for that. What do you have to do? Well, I got to go grocery shopping. I have to do this. I have to do that. And I just don't have time. That's the answer. I just don't have time. Or I just don't want to. Just don't want to. Excuses. Excuses. I can't attend every service. Why not? How come you can't attend every service? I'm going to jump down to the bottom answer right now. I don't want to. Period. Point blank. Should nothing else say it. Don't ask me anymore. I just don't want to. Well, if you just don't want to, it means that you are in sin. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more you see the day approaching. As you turn to Hebrews chapter 10, I want you to jump back up to verse 24. So this is why we want to encourage you to come to every service, not just on Sunday mornings, but we want to encourage you to come to Sunday morning Bible study. We want to encourage you to come to Sunday evening. We want to encourage you to come to Wednesday night Bible study. And whenever we have a gospel meeting, we want to encourage you to come to that as well. On last Sunday, we had an informative meeting. I tried to encourage you to come to that. Some of you decided to come. Some of you decided, hey, I don't care what's going on. You are a member of this local work. You should want to have some type of interest in it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. That's why we need you here. That's why we want you here. So you may provoke us to doing what's right, and we may provoke you unto doing what's right. Also, how to love one another and to good works. Sister Janetta said this morning, reference to, they may not know who we are, but they may see what we're doing. Those good works. People are looking. You're a member of the Lord's church and they're wondering. You know, everyone else, you say that y'all attend, y'all assemble up on the first day of the week to partake of the Lord's Supper. Why did you not assemble together? Why did you stay home? Why did you go fishing? Why did you go wash your car? Why did you go hang out with your family when you should have been assembled together with the saints? Excuses. I can't attend every service. The Bible says you need to attend every service. It's a command. What does it mean? That just means one time a week. The true answer? I don't want to come to every service. I already told you that. Don't want to come. When I was first baptized, what time did Bible study start? What time did worship service start? What time did evening worship start? And we've gotten into a habit of getting, you know, to the place of worship at a decent time. Not the last minute. Brother Gary came up a little bit early because the slides were messed up. He came up a little bit early because Brother, I'm passing the blame. Because Brother Glenn turned the light off. It really boils down to, I messed up the slides and they came up early. But that's their cue. They know their cues. When that slide hits that certain point, they start. So some of you might have came in late this morning. You was on time, but you were late because we had already gotten started. Then you say, that's why I don't want to go over there, because they always trying to do things early. No, we don't try to do things early. It's just a mistake this morning. That's another excuse. The true answer is, I don't want to come to every service. Or I'm going to come and it doesn't matter what the Bible says. Or I'm not going to come and it doesn't matter what the Bible says about it. That's the true answer. It's not to please man, it's to please God. Because God, you know, when we come, it's about Him. Amen. He's the one that set in order that we're supposed to come to partake of the Lord's Supper upon the first day of the week. He's the one that set in order that we're supposed to come upon the first day of the week to give of our means. Right. He's the one that says when we come together, we sing praises unto Him, that we pray unto Him, that we hear His word proclaimed. God is the one that said that those things, not man, God. So we need to assemble together upon the first day of the week. Many people don't care about that because they don't care about God. There are things I'd rather do than worship God. That's what you're saying. Super Bowl is getting ready to come up pretty soon, isn't it? See how smart man is? Man has made this thing called a VCR, which many of y'all don't have anymore. But they're still out there. And then they're still selling the tapes for them, too. Slide that tape in there and program that thing to come to worship service that evening. DVR, whatever those other things called, TiVo, press record. You're not going to miss much of the game, but you're going to miss a little bit of it. You're not going to miss much. But people say, I'd rather do this than worship God. We're not going to set up a big screen. We're not going to show the game here on this screen here. But there are some congregations that have made provisions to do those things. Why? Because they'd much rather do something else than worship God. Amen. When it's time to worship, we need to worship. When it's time to have fun, we need to have fun, but we have fun away from this place. And when I say fun, I'm talking about those secular activities. So we enjoy ourselves worshiping God. That is fun. That's what I consider fun. What the next man considers fun may be something totally different. I love to assemble together with the saints because I love my God family. I love you all. Amen. Excuses for lusting. We have this. Well, why did you lust after her? Why did you lust after him? It's nothing I haven't seen before. That's what you say. What do you mean you haven't seen it before? The army says if you look over 8 seconds, then it's considered to be sexual harassment. So you know what some men do? They look for 7.5 seconds, they turn away, and then they look back again. It's an excuse. That's what they do. They make these excuses, but the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, "But I say to you that whosoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." You look, and then thoughts begin to accumulate in your mind, and you done gone overboard. You've gone overboard. What's the true answer? Why are you looking at her like you look at her? The answer is nothing I haven't seen before. That's not the answer. The answer is this: I like looking at it, and I'm going to keep looking. Nothing you can say or nothing you can do is going to stop me. You like me? That's what some ladies will ask you, or some men ask you. You like what you're looking at? And then some men are just who they are, and they say yes. Some women say the same thing: yes, I like what I'm looking at. They have already committed adultery in their hearts. So we need to be careful how we look at people. Excuses for dressing immodestly. They're going to lust anyway. You don't wear that. You're going to cause people to look at you in a way they shouldn't. Oh, they're going to look anyway. That's what some women say. That's what some men say. I'm going to wear it regardless. Luke chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. Luke chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. And he said to his disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones." So we need to consider this as we dress in the mornings or in the evenings or at night when we get ready to go out. Amen. We need to look at what we're putting on, and we need to say, why am I putting this on? Is it to draw attention to myself? Or is it to say, I'm not available? How are you really dressing? Dressing immodestly. This is something that the men need to teach the young men. This is something that the ladies need to teach the young ladies. And not vice versa. Not vice versa. And where do we get our teaching from? We need to go back to the Bible. Amen. The Bible taught in the very beginning when Adam and Eve were naked and they tried to sew together fig leaves, that God, that was unacceptable to him. Because he made them coats of skin in order to cover their bodies. And when he covered their bodies, I'm pretty sure it wasn't form-fitting. Pretty sure of that. And so we need to consider how we're dressing. What is the true answer? I like others looking at me. It flatters me. It makes me feel good. What about you? See, we always want to look at the next man. We all want to say, what excuses they're making? What are they doing? What about you? Have you been making excuses for not obeying God? I don't want to worship. I want to dress the way I want to dress. I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to study the Bible. I can't understand what the Bible is talking about. That is just an excuse. In the end, that excuse is not going to fly. It's not going to be acceptable. It's not going to be acceptable. All the excuses we make for our disobedience won't change God's mind at judgment. Will not. You can go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. As we look at the scriptures here, we see what Jesus is saying. For all those people that have been making excuses, have been doing this and half doing something else, he said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? And then when I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. See, these are people that said, well, I'm going to do what you say, God, but I'm not going to do it all the time. I'm not going to do everything, but I still expect to get in. He said, no, you're not going to get in. I don't know you. So all the excuses we make for our disobedience won't change God's mind at judgment. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. They made excuses. What's your excuse today? For those of you that are not members of the Lord's church, that have not had their sins washed away in the water of grave baptism, what is your excuse today? For those of you that have obeyed the gospel, but yet you're strayed away somewhere down the line, what's your excuse for not getting it right today? What is your excuse? Matthew chapter 25, verses 44 through 45. Matthew chapter 25, verses 44 through 45. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. So have you went to visit anyone that has been sick lately? Have you offered any clothing to someone that needed some clothing? Or you stopped to take time to talk to a stranger about God's word, or giving someone a drink, or giving someone something to eat, or go visit someone in prison? Have you done any of those things lately? Jesus said, if you haven't, you haven't done what you're supposed to do. Well, why haven't you if you haven't? Well, you know, I only have enough clothes to last me for 30 days. You got 30 changes of clothes. You got a wash and dryer, or you have access to a wash and dryer. Get rid of at least 7 sets and help someone else out. I know you're attached to those rags in one way or another. You don't want to get rid of them. They're taking up space. Get rid of some things. You get ready to fix dinner. Is it any harm with fixing just a little bit extra, just in case you know someone that's hungry, or just in case someone come knock on your door and they say, feed me? And you say, come on in, sit down. Or someone, you know, wants something to drink. I remember when we was kids, we thought it was funny to run in the house to get the biscuits that were left over from breakfast, or get some water out of the hydrant to give to the hobos when they came off the train. We thought it was funny. We didn't know that we could have got in trouble for doing it, or, you know, they could have, you know, kidnapped us. They would have brought us back, but they could have kidnapped us. We wasn't worried about anything like that. We never knew that we were doing something that was right. But now people have strayed away from those things. They've shied away from them, because they are scared that someone's going to harm them. We need to consider God being with us. We need to consider God being with us. Maybe you're here this morning, you have made many excuses, but now you know no excuse is any good when it comes to serving God. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You're here, you heard the gospel. You know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You've known that for a long time. But yet you've made excuse after excuse of, I just don't want to obey right now because there are so many other things I have to do. What do you have to do but worship God? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you don't love him, we know you're not going to keep his commandments. We know this. If you're here and you're not a child of God and you're ready to become one on this morning, we're going to invite you to come to make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son, and you're ready to have your sins washed away. We're going to take that confession if you come this morning. Maybe you're here and you're strayed away, and you're saying, I need to get my life together, and I need to do it today. That opportunity is yours to come, confess your faults, ask the church to pray for you that you may be strengthened. You don't have to go through life alone. You have other Christians that's willing to help you. When you're struggling through something, you have another Christian there to help you. And if that one Christian you call, that one brother or sister you call, make an excuse, call the next one. He make an excuse, she make an excuse, call another. And make sure now when they make that excuse and you call the next one, you tell them, hey, I tried to get some help from these people, but they made this excuse, so they can call them and say, you need to quit making excuses and you need to start helping someone else out. Don't be afraid to tell it on them, because that's what's going to happen in the end. Someone is going to say, you never mentioned him to me before. You never took the time to help me. You never took the time. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.